Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we would confess with the scriptures that the Lamb who was slain is worthy, who has redeemed us unto God by his blood, is worthy of all the glory, the honor, power, and blessing. And we have assembled ourselves into this place to worship thee and to bring from our hearts our faith and adoration that thou would speak to us through thy word, teach us in thy ways, and help us to grow in faith and love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Be with us and bless us and be among us to speak to our hearts through thy Holy Spirit. We will give thee the honor and the praise and the thanks. Through Jesus' name, amen. The Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28.
Nađene da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju 28. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju 28. glava.
Actually, perhaps we could begin with verse 62 of the previous chapter. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have read of the account recorded in Matthew of the days following Jesus Christ's crucifixion, of his resurrection and the days that followed. The first day that we read of is the day that followed the preparation. The day that followed the preparation for the Sabbath was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, they came together and they were very busy on that Sabbath. They were very particular about pointing out to Jesus not to work or to heal on Sabbaths while Jesus was alive. But on this day, they are visiting with governors, and they are sealing tombs, and they are setting watches and soldiers on the Sabbath day. They are breaking the Sabbath. And they speak of their errors, the first error and the second error. All mankind has a first error that was done with Adam in the garden to fall under the deception of sin and to give mankind's heart wholly to it. That is the first error. What is the second error? The second error is one that we should avoid because we have the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and the salvation that he has offered through the shedding of his blood. The second error is not that men would criticize us, or that we would look foolish before men, as the Pharisees were trying to avoid. But their second error was rejecting Jesus Christ and not repenting for their sin. That is a far worse error. And the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is offered. And the tomb, as we have read, is open so that we can behold and see and be assured that Jesus has won victory over the sin that has bound us and slain us, and that we can partake of that with him. When we die to sin through repentance and come to him in faith, believing in his precious shed blood, all who do not know the Lord, consider the errors that the scribes and the priests sought to avoid. And hear the word of God calling to you and speaking and drawing you from a place of fear to a life of faith, that your second error would not be worse than the first. In the end of the Sabbath, as the day began to dawn, two women were approaching the sepulcher. They came, as the other accounts of the resurrection tell us, with spices in order to anoint the body of Jesus. And they gathered, just two, but with love for their Lord, wanting to do this service. And our minds go back to the one who poured the ointment upon Christ's feet when she wept upon his feet and washed and dried them with her hair. And Jesus declared to them that she had done that in preparation for his burying. They did not know who would roll the stone away for them. They did not know what they would find, and they did not know that perhaps their preparation of spices was not needed. And yet, from love of their Lord, they went forward. And this teaches us, and calls us, and draws us to have that sort of love for Jesus, that whatever obstacle, whatever great stone must be rolled away, we do not know how, but we go forward in obedience and in love, and we gather one with another, even this morning hour, in love for Jesus Christ and love for one another, to assemble, to draw near to the Lord wherever he is, wherever he calls us, whether it be to suffering or to service or to self-denial. When we are with him, that is where we find our blessing. And the Lord provides. The Lord provides when we do not know how all things will work out, but we trust him in faith and we take him at his word and we follow him in love. And we see that that happens for these two. A great earthquake occurred because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. These are the events that occurred before they came to the tomb. And there's reason for all of it. For the soldiers, the reason was that they, in fear, would shake and faint and become as dead men. But for the women, that the way might be made plain and straight for them to approach, that the way might be made clear, that the obstacle would be removed, that they would draw near in faith. And the angel said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." The angel spoke these words to the women in this very private setting. And yet the word of God speaks this to one and all who seek Jesus, who seek one to be their physician, their healer, and their savior. With a contrite heart and with humility, knowing our need and seeing how undone we are, when we seek Jesus, we hear these words, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And we also take heart. It's a very practical word for our day and age. Do the events of this world not strike fear in the heart of men? Are they not fully persuaded and motivated to change their behavior and their actions in order to preserve their lives, to preserve this earthly frame in fear and in trembling. For us, beloved, who come to worship God, what makes the difference? What speaks to our hearts as we approach and come before Him? It is the word of the Lord. That is what makes the difference in the heart of a believer, that we would not be moved with the same fear that the world seems to be moved with such ease as a boat on the ocean tossed to and fro, back and forth, like in a storm. But we have the Word, which is a solid rock upon which we can build our lives. And this theme of not fearing runs through the accounts of the resurrection, because it was what was needed. And I am grateful and relieved to see the mercy of God expressed in this way. The gospel writers were very honest in their portrayal of the disciples as they waited for the promise of Jesus' resurrection, in relaying to us their fears, their doubts, but much more than focusing on the disciples, we see that despite their fears and their doubts, one who is patient, one who is speaking and willing to work and help those who have need, to move them from a place of fear to a life of faith, that none of the 11 that were left would remain in that place of doubt, but would come to a faithful service. And truly, we see in their life and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had promised to them, that God was faithful in bringing them through. And He is faithful today. It is a relief that we do not have, it can be taken as a relief, that we do not have the disciples so easily ready, but see them in their need for preparation, in their need for help along the way, because we find ourselves with need for help along the way. We find ourselves as branches that need the vine. We need our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to help us. And that is the exercise of faith, that we turn to Him, call upon Him in our time of need for His grace, for His help. And He provides when we are seeking Him. And He speaks to us the word not to fear. The angel testified that He was crucified, but that He is not here. That was something that happened. He was crucified, but He is no longer at the tomb. He is risen, as He said. And He invites the women to come and see where the Lord lay. And this invitation to behold and to witness the truth of the resurrection is given to each and every one of us as well. Perhaps not to see the physical tomb, that we don't know exactly where it is. But the psalmist writes, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." We receive testimony from the Word that Jesus Christ lived a perfect and sinless life, that He was crucified, and that He rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. and that we are to partake with him in his sufferings and in his resurrection and that new life, that we would also be given that power and help from on high. Peter tells us that he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And that is our witness of Christ's resurrection. When we participate in faith and love with our Lord and Savior, in a covenant upon his blood, he gives us the strength and he shows us and demonstrates that resurrection power in giving us victory over sin. And we are a witness to others of God's goodness and grace, his mercy, and his strength that has changed us and is molding us more and more purely into his image. And so we are each and all invited, come see the place where the Lord lay. Know for a certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and desires to be close and to have a relationship with you, with me, with us. Not to be fearful, but to believe. And after they beheld, the angel told them to go quickly and tell the disciples that he was risen from the dead, and to go into Galilee, to a place where Jesus had appointed them that he would meet them. They departed, left the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and ran to give his disciples word. And on their way, Jesus met them. This too, the Lord desires for each of us. We read of outstanding events in the scriptures, marvelous miracles, wonders of angels, and things that the Lord has done. But does not the Lord desire to meet us along the way? In our daily lives, to be close to us, that the things that we do and the time that we occupy here would be filled with meaning because he comes and we welcome him to be with us in our hearts, in our lives, in our decisions, in our trials. Jesus met them at the time of fear and great joy. And their response was to come and hold him by the feet, to bow down, to worship. Oh, and how the Lord longs for us to take this position as well, to hold to nothing but to his feet, to hold nothing as dear but our Savior, to hold to the faith that we have received, and to worship our Lord Jesus Christ in that tenderness of love, in that faith in Jesus Christ and the great joy that he has brought to us, that we would follow in these footsteps and hear the words of Jesus speak to us. Oh, how we often pray and bring out the word to those who do not know the Lord. These are words that are precious. These are words that sustain us. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Those that were fearful, those that had ran away when the soldiers came at first. He calls them my brethren. Are you a brother and sister to the Lord? How do you know? We read in the book of Hebrews, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are brethren with Jesus Christ as we yield to him in faith and his work of sanctification. This is what is happening with the disciples and those who had followed. The Lord is patiently working with them. He's bringing his word to them. They are making experiences that testify to the faithfulness of God. And they are becoming the servants and the children of God and the brethren of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we too can have that precious title. It belongs to those who are washed, who are cleansed, and who are being made pure and ready. May we seek that and desire that relationship with the Lord, that he may lead us and guide us on life's path and show us his glory and help and blessing. Jesus fulfills his promise to his disciples and meets them in Galilee upon a mountain. When they saw him, they also worshiped, but Matthew admits that some had doubted. But Jesus' words, God's word to us, is given to dispel all of our doubts. And he says something to them. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He was victorious, and he is victorious. And through the suffering of the cross and the testimony of the Spirit that he was the Son of God, raised from the dead, all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. But it was the path of suffering that he took to get to this place. We remember in the beginning, after Jesus' baptism, that Satan tempted him and said, I will give you all of the glory and the splendor of the kingdoms of this earth and the power that is in them if you bow to me. There is a shortcut that Satan offers for pleasure, for happiness, for fulfillment. It is temporary. And my friend and my brother and sister, do not listen to Satan and his shortcuts. But see what Jesus and the path that he went. He went that path of the cross. And all power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. There's no place that we can rest our faith and our trust and commit our souls than to Jesus Christ and him alone. And we will not be disappointed. All power is given to him. To roll the stones away that are in the way of our path of faith and the temptations that we face. And he gives us commandment. He gives to his disciples, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations." Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. And now the disciples and those that would believe upon his name are now called to share his word, to demonstrate the truth of the resurrection in life and in teaching, and to go and to baptize them in obedience to the command of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and also to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we know these precious commands: to love the Lord our God and to love one another. Simplified and condensed to those. But all the commands of Jesus Christ were to be handed down. And through the scripture, we have them handed down to us. May we faithfully uphold them and hand them down as well. We have the word that dispels the fears. And we have the testimony of the empty tomb. And we have his commands to show others of his work and his glory. And he tells his disciples, "I am with you." And he says, "Unto the end of the world." Not just with these 11. But he is present and with us because he lives with all of his children. As we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, let us remember he is alive, that he is praying for us, and that he is also with us and near. May God bless his word.
That the writers of the gospel, the writers of the Bible, had an honesty about them. They explained their fears. They explained the times when they didn't understand things. And that is proof, one point of proof of many, that God's word, the Bible, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. For men by themselves would never admit their faults, their failures, their doubts. In Revelation, the first chapter, the Apostle John is writing, and he sees Jesus. Jesus is revealed unto him. And John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Again, this honesty that he fell. He was scared. And Jesus' answer to him is the same answer that he tells us each and every day. He says, he put his right hand upon him, and he says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus in his resurrection had power over death. Death has no more sting. We're not to be afraid of it. He has the key of hell and of death, complete control over them. There's nothing for us to be afraid of. All power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And in conclusion, for this morning hour service, I'd like to read a verse that a brother shared with me this past week. It's been on my mind a lot, and I think it sums up completely the gospel story in such a beautiful way. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the last verse, and it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen."